And as we rejoin our rapscallions, we find them charging headlong down a rickety gangway towards a vessel which hangs from a crane above the deep mud which fills the malodorous hemlock pit beneath. As you approach the vessel, from within the building you can hear the sound of moving crates as the dedicated guards get back up and force their way through the door. You pour over the rail of the ship and onto the deck. Everything here seems to be closed up except for some hatches, which are cracked slightly for venting. Every once in a while, as in now, there's a large and harsh tearing of the air as a vent of steam will come out from somewhere in the vessel. Occasionally, this will stir the thin, viscous liquid which covers the mud beneath, and it'll ripple out. From where you're standing, though, like, it just looks like, when it does that, it looks like the whole muddy pit is shaking.
I've got the rear, and I take out the rifle.
Culver is looking around for the boat. Is there a reasonable place with a bit of cover? That's pretty much done. I'm very tired.
You're on the deck of the boat. There is no sails, and the masts appear to have been collapsed. The top of the ship seems to be put away, although there is activity inside. Shakir, right about now, you turn around and like everything has just been moving so quickly. That shot, you took forever to line it up. And you think you're almost sure you could see the bullet spiraling its way towards its target. But now everything comes back into that slow, comfortable, wrapped in cotton kind of focus. And all of that wonderful energy that you had a moment ago abandons you. So as Calder finds himself a place to sit down, you find a need to sit down with your back to the rail next to where Haribet is covering the gangway. Delilah, what are you doing?
Shakir, are you okay?
You'll need a moment. Going that fast does require a certain amount of recuperation.
She settles a hand on Shakir's shoulder. Is there anything I should be doing to make that better?
It won't last long, just a few minutes.
Yeah, I puked up my guts really good.
That is quite colorful, as was that moment, but yes, that is good.
Well, Shakir is not heaving his guts over the side of the rail. This, I gotta say, Arabet, you felt that magic before. Just the fucking crash at the end, right? It's how your whole nervous system collapses for a moment and your muscles all turn to jello.
Shakir will take a deep breath and shakily get to his feet. That was good while it lasted, but don't know that I would like to have that happen frequently.
I suspect the Viper Hounds would like it even less.
Welcome to Runelanders. I'm Matt Adam, your host and friendly neighborhood dungeon master, and so it's my job to let you know that Runelanders contains coarse language and things that might offend sensitive listeners. And so listener discretion is strongly advised. Now, if that sort of thing is your sort of thing, then dig, if you will, the mysteries, magic, and mayhem, which follow a felonious fellowship's forays from salons and saloons into parlors of power and places unknown in, around, above, and beneath Byzantine Bailey Mina. Having returned from an autumn spent lost in the dream, will our fiends survive the winter in the city of steel and steam? We could tell you all about it, but we'd rather show you. We're the Runelanders. This is Rapscallions. So get ready, Runatics, and let's roll. first one onto the walkway gets shot in the throat by Arabet.
You know, this rifle really is cheating.
I'm sure if you want to engage face to face, it would be happy to oblige you.
Oh, fuck no. I'm happy cheating.
Thought you might be.
It's right about then that a heavy crossbow bolt sinks itself into the post that connects the walkway to the ship.
Nice, that's out where it came from?
Yep, right along the walkway from somebody inside using the cover of the building in darkness so you can't see them to shoot them.
Does the door open inward or outward?
The door opened out onto the gangway, so as soon as you stepped out, you were highlighted against the door and an easy target for the snipers, right? It's by design that way.
Ah, shut the door.
You sight down the barrel and gingerly clip off the outer doorknob to this door. The impact sends the door slamming shut. The camera shifts to inside the warehouse, where the guy standing beside the door falls over without any ears when the door slams itself shut. There's a little hole in the tin where the lights from outside are now beaming in. Now, the thing about this rain here that's falling on you in the styles, you realize that it's raining, and it's raining pretty good. But you also realize that you're more or less inside. And so all that rain has filtered through all of Bailey Mina to get here. And that's why it's like baby oil. You're out on a ship above a pit of mud and slime with people coming out a dangerous gangway to get you. What are you going to do, Rapscallions?
Hey, Shakir, can you drop the gangway?
So you start sawing and hacking away at the ropes and cables and things like that. There are wires.
Oh, Shakir, one moment. And I'll go over to him.
So Shakir will certainly wait.
I'll go over, sort of like a little hunched over, because I'm trying not to get shot, and I managed to make the deck save, I assume, so I rolled a 19. So 20 total. I get over, I'm holding up one hand. Get there, I sniff the wire. What did it smell like?
Thermoelectricity. It's coming from inside the ship. So there's a thermoelectric generating boiler on this vessel. This shitty, decrepit scow hanging in the sky, leaking water into the mud, has a thermoelectric generating boiler.
The ship is not as it seems, friend. There's some powerful magic here. Magic course through this very object. I would not touch that if I were you.
Very well. What should we do then?
With a flick of his thumbnail, he just uncouples it. You didn't know that's what that was, Shakir. You thought it was some kind of knot.
I give it a wary sniff after I've disconnected the circuit.
Yep, this ship is in part, it seems, powering the things in the building. For all intents and purposes, this is an extension cord.
If I hold the extension cord and, let's say, shock and grasp it, do I think I have a fair chance of shorting out the building? That would give us decent cover to try to get away, either on this boat or through.
So you try it, and there's a blasting blue shock from the hole in the gangway you had to jump over.
Fair enough.
Well, wasn't quite what I was hoping for, but it's better than nothing.
Shakir, with the last chop, the rope lets go. The gangway dumps itself into the mud. The ship now turns on its chains from where it hangs. Slightly. It's not a lurching move that sends you all off balance, but it is no longer tethered to the building and so is free to rotate as it will.
Shakir will look around nervously just because, yeah, that's bothersome for him. Where are we going next? You two. Let us be done with this.
Well, yeah, I see it. We gotta take this thing down at the roof.
I do hope that's so much. I'm frightfully tired.
Starting to wear on all of us a little. I'll do what I can.
Having been loosed from its tether to the building and being able to swing freely for the first time in a while, the rigging which holds the ship groans. The ship kind of does one of those shuddering, groaning metal noises. And the whole ship just kind of jolts. There's another blast of steam from outside the boat, one of the vents in the back, and the vessel turns with a slow arc, anti-clockwise. Out front of Dorish's, 5 minutes ago, the junior member of the night watch at Dorish's warehouse follows his orders. He takes the crossbow that is issued to him by the company, slings it over his back, and runs with all haste to the guardhouse. When he gets there, the desk sergeant looks at him, who very earnestly explains that there's trouble at Dorish's. The desk sergeant says he'll dispatch a patrol at once, but that he should get back there and do his duty as protector of Dorish's things. Dutifully, the kid turns around and runs out of the precinct back to where he came. The desk sergeant fingers the coins in his pocket that were given to him the other day to not report problems at Dorish's. The ship is suspended from the crane by these massive chains which creak and groan as the ship shifts in the wind. Now and again, some asshole from the building will take a shot with his crossbow, but they can't see you from where you huddle behind the rail of the ship. Now, the only apparent access to the vessel's interior is near the bow on the port side, so up front and on the right. There's a grate in the hull there, and you can see that there's low wisps of vaporous smoke and water. Like, that's like humidity is venting from within.
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with boats, but I kind of snuck around a few of them. I'm not sure what the technical term is, but there's access without using the doors.
Just gotta avoid the vent and steam, then.
Oh, you don't use the steam vents. Oh, no. You use the ventilation shafts.
Well, I don't know nothing about ventilation shafts, so I'm gonna follow you.
All right, let's go.
You get over to the grate over this steaming, smoking hole in the deck. Standing back from it, there's wan light that sees both Erebet and Delilah melt in from the dark as the light illuminates their features. It doesn't appear to be bolted down. It doesn't even appear to be locked or anything like that, but it certainly is rusty.
Erebet finesses it off with a 36.
You pour all the oil you have into it, and then reach down and lift with your knees, and still can feel it in your back and groin because there's no good position for this, but it swings open quietly. As he lifts it up, once it's open enough for you to get into, you kind of peek an eye in there. And yeah, this appears to lead into a chamber where, in the middle of which, well, there's a pool of water. The air rising out from this compartment is oppressively hot and humid. There's clouds of smoke that are pouring out, and your nose has never had such a rude assault. Imagine all of the lovely scents combined with all of the lovely incenses, except without the judiciousness to use them one scent at a time or applying them so that they smell good. It is an olfactory cacophony, Delilah, and it leaves a bad taste, I gotta tell you.
Delilah pulls her head back out, her nose wrinkling, puts a hand on Aramet's shoulder, and whispers a message cantrip to Calder into the air behind them. I think we found Dorish.
Do be careful. There's very strong magic down there. I suspect it was run the entire warehouse. Shall we follow you now?
Not quite yet. And crouches down to take another look around in there. In the process, she's going to take another second to put her hand on the hinge of the hatch and use mending. She's going to support the hatch in the process, because if that hinge gets real mended, it might come down. After making sure she's made a friend of the ship itself, Delilah gets in the grate. She's, I'm guessing, able to see how far the floor is. She's got dark vision.
And it's not really that dark in here. Like I said, there's wand light. You can see fine. Thorish is apparently a person with airs. All of the things in here are well-made or trendy, but there is no design ethic, and the place smells.
She pulls her scarf up over her nose.
And it helps. Now, there's a pool in the middle of this room, and it stands probably about a meter off the ground. So, you look into the water, and the bottom of this pool is open to the flooded bilge. All of the water in this ship seems to be heated from below. You can see the bubbles forming around the heating elements submerged along the bottom of the bilge on the inside of the ship. This is how it builds up its steam, although touching the water, it's like an uncomfortably hot bath, maybe 37 degrees Celsius. A second later, Arabet lands quietly beside you and slides with his hands in his pockets to bump his hip against the side of the tub.
This isn't normal. I don't like it.
Delilah shakes her head.
Now the other thing here is looking into the bottom of this ship, all along the bottom, there's coral and little fish, and you can see little crustaceans darting in and out. Yes, the water's hot. So, not hot enough to cook anything, obviously, but the creatures who live in here, they're all like hot water fish. Who keeps that kind? Well, it would explain the fishy smell, wouldn't it?
Delilah, this is not normal. Like, who keeps a whole bottom of a ship aquarium?
Doris has a smell of his own to cover up, and I think these are his pets or friends or dinner or something.
So, as Delilah turns her eyes from the water to say this, Arabet turns his face to meet hers. Both of them are watching the doors, so when the octopoid-like creatures detach themselves from where they had been hanging on the walls, and their bodies reconfigure themselves into not eight legs, but two sets of two limbs, and their octopoid heads flop back against their necklace torsos, and as their tentacular hands come up over the lip, it is Delilah who reacts first. Delilah, you see these things hauling themselves out of the water. Time slows down, and as you take your hand off the lip of this tub, it is replaced by these tentacles. You look down, and the meniscus on the surface of the water bulges out over the octopoid features, which pull themselves out of the water.
Is there anything on the ceiling that could be dropped onto the top of the tub? Like a lid?
The only thing fixed into the ceiling is the hatch you came in. Apart from that, it's just like barnacles.
She is going to toss herself backwards out of the way and cast the message cantrip to yelp, "Now! Now! Octopoids! Now!"
Octopoids?
So, simultaneously to all of this, what are you doing?
Arabic grabs her. Without grabbing her, he just puts his arms around her and shoots both bolters into one of those octopoids.
You tilt to come around Delilah and take two shots at the octopoid.
Doing 9 points of damage.
Shakir, you see Delilah slip down into the grate and then Arabet slide in after her. As you're making your way up, you hear the stumbling and the motion, the echoing hammering of feet on wood from into the grate. You don't need to be told. All the same, a second later from behind you, Delilah's cantrip lands.
Calder's caught a little bit off guard because it sounds like she's right there. Then he'll drop his hand he's been holding up in front of Shakir and makes a motion to go quick.
So you look over from behind you as you see Calder, like you can hear Calder move, slipping a bit on the deck, cast an eye over your shoulder to see if he's okay, and that's when he gives you the order to move, and you are all action zen.
How open is that grate? I figured honestly he'd like drop to a slide so that he can land on his feet more easily once he gets inside.
That's eminently cool. You bound parkour like off the rail, stick your both feet at the grate and slide through it like a champ. Delilah, as you hear the chunk chunk of Bet's bolt casters and two blazing bolts of magic hit this octopoid who was flailing at you, one high in the shoulder and the other where an elbow would be if it had an elbow. That limb splits and shakes in a lot of pain, and then it hangs its leg off the side of the tub and slurps out. It doesn't appear to be too damaged by this. Also, there are two more of them. Shakir, that slide went a little better than you were hoping for. However, I need you to make an acrobatics check.
16 total.
As you plant your heels in the face of this octopoid, he goes back into the tub. There's a splash of the water, and bending your knees slightly, you turn your plunge into the tub into a backflip onto the floor. As you see, Arabet kind of slides around behind her and then plants two magic bolts into one of these octopoids, which is climbing out of the tub towards them. Octopoid, who's climbing out of the other side of the tub, drops down behind the tub because, you know, he's not used to standing upright. Shakir.
Shakir will draw his sword and he'll actually just hold his action because one of those octopoids appears to be probably headed in his direction. No point in taking the risk of falling down or anything. They'll come to him, and it doesn't look like they have any sort of ranged attacks at this point.
Calder.
Yes.
You try the same sort of thing that Shakir just did, and try to keep your feet off the greasy parts. It works for the most part. You slide through the grate, but your coat catches, and instead of sailing through like Shakir did, you kind of turn and twist and slide through with a bit more awkwardness, but a better position. You are standing rearmost in the room and can see everything. There is nothing behind you.
Got it. Well then, I am going to cast Witch Bolt. In the past, when he's done this, blue lightning or energy has sparked up from between his fingers and shot out in wicked arcs. But this time, first time he's cast this since coming back from the dream, there's a bright glow that comes so clearly through everything he's wearing in the center of his chest, and the purple energy where you can see flickers of blue and red spark out on either side as the lightning crashes into the one who I believe, I don't think Calder actually saw him kicked in the face, but the one who's recovering from the kick.
Okay, he's in the water, so as you nail the water, he just kind of dances about.
Sounds great. That's my turn.
So, it looks like Calder has just electrified a bunch of water.
He's pouring lightning into the tub, and from behind the octopoid who has crawled out of the tub and is now menacing you, you can see that there's a third one in the tub, which is dancing the electric merengue.
She turns her head to catch one of the weird corners of the room so her voice will echo a little, and says, "Get him in the water." And then, back facing the one that's menacing her, she says, "Or fire'll do." And snaps a spark into being and flicks it at the thing. So that would be a firebolt.
And it goes blistering across. Roll your attack.
26.
That's good.
For 11 fire damage.
Arabet takes one out at the legs.
So his face is mostly featureless and yet still manages to look surprised as you level your boulders off and squeeze off two shots. Blat, blat. You hit it, but the rubbery flesh seems to take the impact pretty well. It stops sneaking up on Shakir and looks torn for a moment as to what it's going to do before finally launching itself at Calder. Calder. It grabs hold of you good and hard with the end of its one arm, which splits into two tentacles. These wrap around your bicep, tricep, and squeeze so hard your humerus throbs. That's 7 damage. It's the next thing that gets you. It burbles out its mouth, but as it's doing so, you can feel its intelligence squirming in through your armpit and up your neck. You can feel tendrils of its thoughts pouring their way into your ear. The alien thoughts push their way into your mind, and try though you might, you cannot burn them out. The fortress of your mind is under heavy assault, Delilah, as this thing pushes in on who you are. It wants to know your secrets. It wants to know why you're here. It is a questing, thirsting, hungry sort of feeling. It is as intelligent as a human, but yet as basic as a predatory animal. This is the octopoid mind. Take 18 psychic damage, trying to defend yourself from this thing's mental depredations. And finally,
yes, you've come to investigate the whispers. You'll do nicely.
Top of the round, Shekir.
So, am I right in that there is nothing that is actually coming my way now? Okay, then I guess Shekir will attack the one that's climbing out.
You get advantage.
Attack 23.
The AC to hit is 14.
Okay, then the second attack hits with an 18.
Very good. Damage, please.
15 and 12. 27 total.
So as this thing extends its tentacular hand out to grab the edge of the tub and pull its bulk over, it fixes hateful eyes on you for kicking it in the face. You can still see there's a redness and a bruise arising where the U-shaped imprints of your heels impacted its forehead. It shoots its other limb out to grab hold of you as it's done to Delilah, whereupon the ends of two tentacles hit the floor and writhe in that sort of cut worm type of pain, mutely squirming on the moist floor. It pulls that limb back, but alas, is not going to do well in the water, which Calder is still electrifying. Meanwhile, Delilah.
Well, if this thing wants to see what it is to be Delilah Del Rey, what she's going to do is show it. She's going to use her action to activate Radiant Consumption. Because what it is to be Delilah Del Rey is to be a conduit to all the light in the universe. And if it thinks it can handle that, then let it.
Very good. The first thing that happens is you explode with light. It instantly dries you out and burns all the filth off of you. Those of you in the room, you cannot look at her, so radiant and potent and holy is she. You avert your eyes and, in fact, put a hand between her and your face, and you can feel the heat on the palm of your hand. Everybody does. When the light dies back to the room's natural levels, the octopoids are blinking it off. Calder, I need you to make a concentration check.
A total of 10.
Okay.
It's very surprising for Calder, right? This is kind of the first real time, especially in combat, that I've seen this. So this makes sense for me.
Okay. So Delilah lights up, and you have to close your eyes and cover your face with your hands so the witch bolt is broken and the water is not electrified anymore. With the receding of the light, the creatures that had come from the water scramble to get back into it.
Ah, fuck.
Says Arabet sagely. And now it is your action, Calder.
What's happening in the tub? Is our tentacular friend still there?
All three of them are receding into the flooded bilge below.
All right. Well, Calder drops his hands and looks just ever so briefly with a bit of confusion and surprise at Delilah, then remembering the task at hand, his eyebrows furrow, and he looks at the friends receding the tub, and he plunges both hands in and casts Shocking Grasp.
and the water lights up with electricity. As it froths and boils frumiously, he grits his teeth with an exhalation of something resembling smoke but smelling of ozone. Pulls his hands out. From the pool, there is no sign of movement as the octopoids seem to have swum off from your view. Soon the arcs stop and the electricity grounds off to different parts of the room.
Fucking oogie booginess everywhere, man. Fucking oogie booginess. Yo, take all the joy out of combat, Calder.
What are you talking about? This is the most fun I've had in months.
No shit. So, listen, man. Oh, I think that you scared them away.
Well, I wasn't trying to invite them for tea.
Are we going in after them?
Calder looks carefully at Erebet, and then he looks at the tub. And he looks back up the stairs.
Yes, I suppose we are. Delilah? Shakir?
Delilah nods. I don't think those things belong around here.
No, I thought they were just from around the corner.
I would point out we have just hurried them into an area where they have the advantage.
Well, let's neutralize that. Erebet reaches into his many hand pockets and pulls out 4 beautiful vials. Well, they're not beautiful. They're pretty actually rugged looking. So, Timotei and I use these for boat jobs. Yeah, Timotei and I. Anyway, here you go.
They're in those same sort of cheap but big and fat vials that the cure-alls come in.
What do these things do?
Take it, you'll see. They won't kill you.
Shakir actually starts looking around as if he's looking for any other option.
Okay, sunlight, here you go.
Delilah catches the potion that gets tossed to her, pops the cap, and chugs it.
The two main ingredients in this seem to be firth water and rum by the taste and thickness of it, right? It's not dirty by any means, it doesn't taste unpleasant. But there is the unmistakable bouquet of the docks about it when you open the stopper. All the same, you plug your nose and chug it back. Slides down your throat like a your more college class of shooter and hits your belly with a certain warmth. A moment later, there is a warm sensation in your neck. Either side of your neck, in fact. Then your breath catches in your throat for just a second, and those of you around her can see her neck flare open in 2 spots on either side, as though it's just been like cut twice. And she staggers a bit with this, like she bends over slightly, her bum bumps the tub, and there's a choking sound that comes out of her mouth. Then the gills seal up again, and you can breathe.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Here you go, my scaly friend.
Calder takes it, pops off the top, winks at Shakir and says, to our health, or at the very least our survival. And he drinks it down.
Calder, same deal, except you can hold your breath for a while anyway, and you had gills until you were 13. It's a little bit itchy for you, but the gills of your childhood open up behind your ears.
Calder's looking forward to this, and he's getting ready to dive in.
Erebet pops the top off with the thumb cutter and chugs her down, jumps on in.
There's a long exhalation of bubbles as Erebet sinks down to the bottom of the ship. Now, this place is lit like your better class of saltwater fish tank. There are saltwater fauna of all kinds, representative of the beautiful wilderness that is the Sea Garden and some of the better neighborhoods of Ballymena Shores. As with everything else Dorish has in his boat home, there is more attention to expense and make than any sort of design ethos. But at the same time, I mean, it's a biosphere in here. The water is hot, yes, but I mean, everything that's featured here, you would find amongst the many vents that keep the sea garden temperate all year round here in the north, right? There's volcanic vents all over the place. That's why the sea garden is warm and shallow and perfect for growing all of the Empire's food. This seems to be the same sort of thing. And Arabet, for a moment, you're a little bit struck by the beauty of it. No sign of those octopoid dudes, though.
Oh, fuck, they're octopoid dudes. Insight.
So you finish emptying your lungs, and just before they collapse, you plug your nose and blow the last bubbles out of your gills, which flare and start to breathe. A second later, Calder comes down in a big storm of bubbles with his long purple coat trailing around him, cape-like.
Delilah looks up at Shakir and says, "Give me a second, I don't want to burn you." Then she vaults the side of the tub and dives down, swimming to one side to get clear of Calder and Arabet.
Shakir, I need you to make a wisdom save.
Well, okay, that's a fail. However, Shakir just recently picked up the indomitable trait, so he gets to reroll.
Groovy. Well, that's handy. It's nice when something comes into use right after you get it.
Yeah, could have come into better use. I only ended up with a 14.
Okay, so you realize that somebody's in the room with you, and then like everybody else is under the water. You haven't drank the potion yet, and as you turn around, this wave of dread comes over you. You barely hold on to your sword, which you hold up to, you know, like, because suddenly this is not fucking good, Shakir. But the potion drops to the floor and rolls out of camera shot. You are frightened as you are affected by the fear spell cast by an invisible Mr. Dorish who is somewhere in the room with you.
All right.
So you're backing off with your sword up, wondering what's going on, when you look over your shoulder and notice that there is like a smoke which seems to be leaking out from the edge of the trim around the top of the room. You know, the ceiling meets the wall. There's a little groove that's inset there. And for some reason now you look and it's leaking green smoke which billows down the walls. You are in difficult terrain because the floor is slippery. Moving away from the corridor leading further into the boat and towards a smoking green wall. You're making a wisdom save to start the round.
That's a 9.
It's poison gas coming out of the wall behind you. Everybody's underwater. You don't know where that fucking potion is. That's something awful. Something way bigger than you can handle is coming down that hall. And frankly, you're scared. Yeah, this is fucking not cool, my man. You gotta get out of here.
Here we go, 17.
That's when it hits you, like, there's no time for fear. You've been in way worse than this, haven't you? Of course you have. Everybody else is in that pool of water, without any warning of whatever's coming, right? There is no time for fear, Shakir. You get over it, like.
Alright, so, if he obviously can't see anything, so probably this thing is invisible, but there's like water on the floor, so he's going to look around and see if there's anywhere that there are like impressions from shoe prints.
Very good. Perception with advantage.
22.
You can see two human-sized footprints in the moisture. Just like the slightest indent, as of something placed in the water. And yep, those are boot prints, all right. Over by the door.
Cool. Shakir's gonna shoot it.
Cool. Take your shot.
16.
All right. So, you take your shot, and the bullet spangs off. It just ricochets. But the invisibility wipes off. And what you see is a guy about 6'2", close to 300 pounds, but it's not muscle. It doesn't look like muscle anyway. And his skin here, he's not wearing the many coats that he was attributed to his wardrobe. Here he's more wearing like a nightgown. And it clings to his physique. He is corpulent. His flesh is pale, like it's been soaked in water, like that of a corpse left to soak in the water. However, he wears well-made, well-cut, and if you know your armor is very expensive, leather armor, it carries a shield. You know the shield bit because, well, your bullet is smoking in that shield. His white face with his red-rimmed eyes and the slight rash you can see spreading off into his hair slicked back against his scalp above his ears. His eyes narrow and a smile spreads across his face, and as his lips part to show his shit-colored teeth, a bunch of little crustaceans crawl out of his mouth. "And who do we have here?" he says. Behind you, the green poison gas leaking from the roof has filled up the far corner and is threatening to fill the room.
About how far away is he?
15 feet.
Cool. Now that I can see him, I'll just run up and, you know, stab him.
Well, you'll slide over and stab him. It will take all of your movement to get here because this is difficult terrain.
22 on the rapier attack.
Well, that'll do it. The bullet-riddled shield comes down, but you're not aiming there. You feint for his leg. He drops his shield to block you. With a quick reversal, you're up and over. You hit. Roll your damage.
Let's see. He's got a gun in the other hand, so he loses his dueling. So that's 12 damage.
And you fetch Dorish. Good, solid poke to a softer part of his armor near the vulnerable spots on his neck. He bats your sword away with the shield and enters the room more fully as you slide backwards on the slimy floor towards the boiling tub in the center of the room.
Then Shakir will put the pistol away and go to work.
All right, roll your attacks, please.
23 and 14.
Okay, so the first one, you poke him again in that soft spot, and this time you get through the leather. You can feel it punch through. It doesn't go deep, only like an eighth of an inch, but it's a good enough thing to draw blood. Dorish knows you're serious now, and he swats the second attack aside with his shield.
15 damage on the first attack.
You get him, but not by much. He's not making it easy. He reels back from that with a look on his face like, fuck. And he says, "It doesn't have to be like this, you know. Your friends are already dead, but you, well, you seem like a smart fellow." Honestly, Shakir, this guy is a challenge. It's been a long time. There haven't been too many who could stand up to you. Those people who do, you remember, and you have a feeling that Dorish might make the list.
There's 10 damage on the first attack.
Okay. And your next attack?
Natural 20.
Well, what's that look like? Because it's been a few rounds now. Dorish figures he's got your number. After he swats away one of your probing attacks, he exposes himself. And you?
When Shakir kind of smiles a little, and then yes, the first attack was meant to draw out and let him open up, so he strikes a glancing blow, allows him to kind of swat most of it aside with the shield. And then in a blur, Shakir's sword somehow ends up right through the guy's throat.
Well, let's see what sort of damage you do there. He's got a few hit points yet.
That would have been 19.
Anybody with human reflexes would be bleeding out of a second smile right now. Dorish is just missing the tip of his nose. It drops to the floor, this wet, white slice of flesh, and a well of blood comes out of the cut and pours down his face. Dorish howls in rage and redoubles his attacks. Delilah, back under the water, you take a plug at the octopoid who's fighting Arabet. It's grabbed him, and he's trying to cut its arm off. What are you doing?
Well, I don't want him to be grabbed by that thing, so I might as well help him burn it off.
Roll the hit.
19.
That'll get him. Roll damage.
9 damage.
The tentacle is hit square on, but despite the big nick in it by Arabet's razor-sharp blade and your firebolt, well, he's still holding on. Next, this thing grabs hold of Arabet. Well, it goes to grab hold of Arabet. So it's going all out. It is hurt, so it's going to focus and use all of its multi-attack on Arabet. So here we go. All right, so 19, 21, and 25, Arabet.
Oh, those all hit.
So the two tentacle grabs are for a combined total of 10 bashing damage.
10 bashing damage?
Yes.
I'll use my reaction to have that.
All right, are you sure?
Unless there's another one coming at me this turn.
There's a third attack.
Yeah, the third attack is for 26.
Oh, I have that one.
18 psychic damage. And disadvantage on wisdom saving throws until the end of this thing's next turn.
Okay, so what's the damage on the biggest attack?
The biggest attack is 18.
Okay, so I'll have that damage.
All right, so you take a total of 19 damage from these attacks. Once again, these tentacles, like three of these tentacles have grabbed you now. Both of your legs and one of your arms are held by these octopoid tentacles, and it is speaking in a language you don't understand directly into your mind. Next up, this one is just going to try to grab Calder and restrain his hands.
All right.
However, the imposing nature of the damage that you've done to it, the fact that you're just plain fucking scary when you're mad, it's not really putting its all into this. It's actually putting more effort into drifting away, like, oh, look, I can't help this. Shit, my attacks are ineffective. Get him, bud! That's the impression you get off this thing as you float off towards it, and it is your go.
He's within touch?
Yep.
I'm going to grab them around the throat or whatever I can grab a hold of. And they scrape the bottom of the barrel. I'm going to shock them.
So as it tries to pull its tentacles away from your reach, you snatch your hand out, roll your attack.
Ooh, a 19 for a total of a 27.
Roll damage.
Total of 7.
It jolts and hauls the tentacle out of your hand, and now, gathering all 8 of them, shoots off at speed down the room. It's at this point that I will prompt you all to gaze to the center of the flooded lowest deck of this ship, where a humanoid figure appears to be assembling itself out of crustaceans.
Okay. Then Shakir will just keep going.
Roll your attacks.
26 and 22.
Those are both hits.
10 and 11.
All right. Well, your first hit, good hit. Number the 10, that one pokes him up in the high in the upper arm that's holding his shield. You can see he's going to have a hard time keeping that shield up. That's why you stabbed him there. The other one is another quick slash, trying to end this quickly. But again, Dorish is quicker than you think. And so even though his shield goes down, your attempt to cut his throat only grazes him across the cheek. Next up is Delilah.
So there's a crustacean thing forming. Is there still room for me if I attempt to go up one of the sides of the tub?
Oh, absolutely.
As she's heading up to the top, Delilah glances at Calder and Arabet and meets Arabet's eyes and says, "Keep them on their heels," using her bonus action to convey bardic inspiration. And then moves up and hauls herself out of the tub.
All right, so you haul yourself out of the water and onto the slippery floor of the chamber above. You see at the last moment, as you sit into it and catch your breath, you can feel it burn your gills slightly. The room is filling with poison gas.
And away from the direction of the poison gas.
The light went out, you noticed, underwater a few seconds ago, and from behind you, Shakir, there is the sound of a wet bulk of body pulling themselves up out of the water. You don't want to take your eyes off of Dorish, though, because he's dangerous. You cast your glance over to that side of the room and see that there's no body visible and that the poison gas has risen to a depth of about 18 inches on the floor. So whatever fell out on the other side of that tub, we hope that's not a bad omen anyway. Dashing your gaze back quickly to Dorish, he wheels a haymaker shot at your head, which you duck underneath, and then he follows it up with another shield punch, which sends you sliding across the room. Back down underwater to where the two octopoids are. Well, one octopoid is grappling Arabet in three spots, and the other one is fleeing Calder as the monster assembles in the middle of that bigger room downstairs. That's a 25 and a 9.
The 25 gets me, the 9 doesn't.
Well, it's an attempt to rip you apart, limb from limb, actually results in it losing hold of one of your legs. It pulls hard, you pull back harder. The grip slips as your boot comes off.
He's got my fucking boot?
Pulled your boot off, yeah.
We're at point blank range, yeah?
That's right. So you take 7 damage from the pulling, and then he has one attack left, so that'll hit at point blank.
The 16 doesn't hit.
He's got a hold of it. So
I got a melee weapon in my hand.
Fair enough. So your melee weapon is the melee weapon in your hand is enough to break the other contact. The third point of contact is just holding on to your boot and not your flesh. And so that awful fucking surging babbling in your mind is broken as soon as the flesh-to-flesh contact is. Calder, you're up.
Gotcha. Does he still have a hold of Arabet?
By his left boot. Arabet's right boot is in one of the thing's other tentacles and now floating to the floor. While it releases the tentacle that has Arabet's left wrist, because Arabet is about to chop that tentacle off with his rapier in his right hand.
Gotcha. I'm going to thorn with him. I roll a 17, so a total of 24 to hit. That'll do 7 points of damage. And to the best of my ability, I'm going to stretch him out. My intent here is to distract him, but also make the tentacle an easier target for Arabet to hit by holding it taut.
All right, Arabet, this motion, because it's holding on to your boot and Calder grabs the octopoid, it moves the pair of you. Roll your attack. Like you're floating, right? You have no solid footing, so roll your attack.
I hit with a 24.
Indeed you do.
And do 8 piercing damage.
You take a swipe at it, it lets you go. Now your thumb cutter.
Well, I miss with the thumb cutter, so forget about the sneak attack. Another 1.
All right, so with a sweep, the other octopoid jets off down the other end of the room, leaving a big squirting cloud of ink. Visibility is now limited in this room. Dorish has had enough of this. He takes a swipe at you with his shield, and as you jump back from it, You hear him start the first of three syllables of an ancient name of fire you are well familiar with, because the Warcasters use it all the time to rain big balls of fire on the enemy. And so, it happens like this. Dorish drops the fireball. It ignites. The fireball explodes. And so does the poison gas, something Dorish hadn't counted on when he used this combination of magic. The chamber fills with fire almost instantaneously. The explosion just fucking rocks the ship. It jumps on the cables that are holding it up. The camera switches to outside as the fire jets out all of the portholes on that deck of the ship. There is a huge shockwave. And the water from the bilge spills from the split seams of the ship's hull as alarms begin to sound all over the stiles. Runelanders is recorded live and curated, produced, and edited with indispensable help from Cassie Goodwin-Harrison, Matthew Harrison, Chris Stockavaz, Greg Setnick, and Carrie Copley. All the usual people played all the usual parts, and if you want to know more about them, you can find out all about them, all about the little Easter eggs that I scattered through these episodes, and so much more at runelanders.com. Watch for our vastly improved website coming up soon. That'll about do it for this episode.
Next time on Runelanders, we're gonna have some wicked awesome fun. You have to check it out. We'll see you then.
I'm DM Matt Adam.
I'm DM Good Guy, reminding you to roll high and don't die.
Until next.
Take good care.
And so, as Dorish drops this fireball, it ignites. The chamber fills with fire almost instantaneously. I'm going to let you make a dexterity save with advantage.
20.
Delilah, it's a hard hit. He hits you with his shoulder and upper arm, just in the clavicles. It takes you high. You weren't expecting it. The edge of the tub hits you in the lower back, and you spin over end over end as Shakir's momentum carries you into the tub. The fireball explodes, and so does the poison gas, something Dorish hadn't counted on when he used this combination of magic. Everybody make a constitution save.
Well, I got 4.
I got a 10 for a total of 50.
Total of 12 for Delilah.
24.
You're the only one who remains conscious for this, Shakir. The explosion just fucking rocks the ship. It jumps on the cables that are holding it up. All the windows on the level above you blow out. The camera switches to outside as the fire jets out all of the portholes on that deck of the ship. From the water, which absorbs most of the impact, there is a huge shockwave. It knocks 3 of you unconscious. The last one of you is Shakir. Shakir, you have like, you dive down once to pull Delilah out of the water, and like, you know, once you're sure it's not burning up here, you pull Delilah out, get her safe, pull Arabet out, hope to God that potion is still working, lay him out on the deck, and he starts breathing.
Calder is a lot heavier than he looks, probably because he's a dragon. But you eventually get him out onto this deck, where in a moment, as Arabet, like once Arabet opens his eyes and starts complaining, and then Delilah, Calder shakes it off a moment later, and as you're all containing yourselves and, you know, collecting yourselves, there's a noise from over where Doris is laying, all burnt and broken and smashed to bits.
Delilah coughs a little and says, "That ain't good." Hauls herself to her feet.
Yeah, that takes a second, because like you're up on your knees, and then when you go to straighten your legs, turns out your knees don't want to hold your legs straight. And then your hips are in agreement, so you kind of wobble a bit, and there's a ringing, like it's a high C in your left ear, but a D flat in your right. The dissonance is a little unnerving, but you manage to shake your way over to where Dorish is lying there, burnt and dying. He doesn't have long, Delilah.
Delilah leans down over him. She doesn't look too great herself. She's bleeding a little and bruised and soaking wet. She leans down over Dorish and she says, "Listen, you can go easy or you can go hard. That's
no
the only choice you got left."
It doesn't matter. The Whisperer will reclaim Bailey Mina for the deserving. I die so that my people will succeed. And then, like, with a big shuddering gasp of puke and all this stuff that's boiled into his lungs from the massive damage of the explosion, he just rattles his death out.
So that nudges him with a toe. Well, I was hoping to get a bit more than that, but if that's how you want to go down.
From out in the streets, you can hear the bells of the fire brigade.
Aw, fuck, we're about to get arrested. Let's get out of here.